Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we talk about Jesus, the Messiah in a hungry world. But first let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words of life. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. May these words we are about to read and share in be life and food for our souls. In Jesus' name, Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 13 to 21, and I'm reading from the NIV. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks, and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Just to there. May God bless his word to us today and always. The feeding of the 5,000 is an event that is recorded in all of the Gospels. Mark chapter 6 verse 30 to 44, Luke chapter 9 verse 10 to 17, and John chapter 6 verse 1 to 13. They all speak of the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. However, it is only in the Gospel of John that we read of this basic meal belonging to a boy. And it is only in the Gospel of John that the meal is specifically described as 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, as opposed to 5 loaves and 2 fish. Which has led some to focus on 2 things from John's Gospel in particular, namely, what God can do through anybody who is willing to give him the little that they have in his service. And secondly, that God is able to multiply the small gift given and turn it into something very significant. And I think that this is a very beautiful picture of the situation as Jesus spent the day with this huge crowd, which was likely more than 5,000 strong, since that is the number of men besides women and children. But it is also very important to look beyond this. Otherwise, we will find ourselves being carried away with an explanation that makes this only about something we're to strive for as those in God's service. There is that. However, it is far more than that. And why this is the case is because the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is the only sign recorded in all 4 Gospels besides the resurrection of Jesus. This fact alone points to its importance and significance, that Jesus was God's anointed one and God the Son, and that Jesus was saying something about the ministry he wanted his disciples and the church to engage in, which I will touch on in a while. With that in mind, John tells us that at the time of this event, the Passover feast was almost at hand, a feast which reminded God's people of Israel's deliverance from Egypt, and in our reading, the people had heard that Jesus was in the area, so they followed him on foot. As evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus to ask him to send the crowds away so that they could go to the villages and buy food for themselves. As an aside, one would think Jesus was aware of their location and the accompanying logistical difficulties. Nevertheless, the crowd were physically hungry, and so instead of sending the people away, Jesus confirmed his words that he had spoken throughout the day about the kingdom of God with this spectacular miracle, for that is what it is, a miracle. Miracles, by definition, defy nature, biology, and the laws of science. So that 5 loaves and 2 fish feed in excess of 5,000 people, with 12 baskets full of leftovers remaining. And every person gathered there that day was not only fed, but filled. This event is about more than satisfying a hunger for food, and Jesus knew this. For when he saw them as he got off the boat earlier on in the day, we're told that he had compassion on them, and so he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Mark, in his version of the event in chapter 6, verse 34, says that Jesus had compassion because the people were like sheep without a shepherd, so he began teaching them many things. Life had become a matter of survival for God's people with no end in sight, and so their hunger to know who this Jesus was is satisfied in part, for he healed their sick. But he is more than a healer. He seems to them to be the expected Messiah, the one for whom they were longing, a longing intensified in their hearts as the Passover loomed and the desire for God's Messiah to come grew. But their physical healing and the message of the kingdom of God brought to the fore a misplaced hunger, and Jesus knew this. They were hungry for political freedom. For John's version in chapter 6, verse 14 to 15 tells us that after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet," meaning the Messiah, "who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. You see, as Jesus presented the gospel of the kingdom of God and healed the people, it was to show that it was the time of their visitation, the time of their deliverance and salvation, but not in the way they understood it. And the outcome of this is shown in John's Gospel again, when Jesus, a short while later, spoke of himself as the bread of life and the need for those following to feast on his body and blood, resulting in many of his followers abandoning him, their hopes dashed and the words of Jesus sounding quite offensive to them. In the end, the tragedy of it all is that people were still hungry for salvation, but did not know it yet. Their hunger for wholeness met in healing, their physical hunger after a long day in a remote location also met, are almost incidental to the two other hungers in their lives which are not met. The first being the felt need, if one could call it that, which was a growling hunger to be led out of their current captivity into a new freedom by the Messiah they had been led to believe would fulfill that role. It was a felt need that was not at all on Jesus' to-do list. The second hunger, which they did not seem to feel or even realize, was the need for salvation in terms of the gospel message Jesus had been proclaiming. And this hunger was the true hunger, the one thing that God knew was at the top of their list of needs. It was the most debilitating hunger in the lives of the Jewish people then. And it is the most debilitating hunger in the lives of all those who do not know God's salvation today. And so in the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, Jesus stands as the one who is greater than the ancient prophets, for he supersedes the provision of manna in the desert in Exodus chapter 16, as well as Elisha's similar multiplication of loaves in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 42 to 44. For the early Jewish church community, coming to know this was very helpful, since what Jesus did was not outside the scope of Old Covenant experiences. What is interesting is that, given the time of Matthew's Gospel, revised to 60 AD as opposed to 80 AD, it is hardly accidental that the verbs in verse 19, take, give thanks, break, and give, are those used in the New Testament accounts of the Last Supper. The meal for the 5,000 did of course satisfy a real hunger in the moment, but Matthew apparently saw it and recorded it as a symbolic act of communion by Jesus in the newly established kingdom of heaven. And so as we conclude, we see Jesus deliberately drawing the disciples into action using the provisions which they could supply. The significance of this miracle was intended primarily for the disciples. He demonstrated what kind of ministry they would have after his departure. They would be involved in feeding people, but with spiritual food. The source for their feeding would be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This applies to us today. The greatest hunger people have, though they almost never know it, is to be saved through the shed blood of Jesus. Nothing else will satisfy that hunger. As some have put it, nothing else can fill the God-shaped hole in their lives. This is our ministry as well, to help bring people into relationship with God, to help them grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the life-giving power of His Holy Spirit. And so may God help us to do our part. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, please help us to understand the needs of people. Most importantly, the need for Jesus. Nothing and no one else will do. Grant us the grace to share our convictions with our friends and family, or at the very least, to invite them to church. In Jesus' name, Amen. And God bless you.